I'm Sid Garza-Hillman, and this is what I think.
I battled a little bit because it's so easy to do a Thanksgiving themed podcast in this case. You know, Thanksgiving rolls around and it's like the holidays hand you like do a blog, do a podcast, do a video on Thanksgiving. I did a blog post. I didn't do a podcast. Okay. I didn't do a podcast. Obviously, you would have heard it, right? I didn't do one. What am I, a freaking walking cliche? I did a blog post and I did it on my take on Thanksgiving. Okay. A little bit weird. You'd know that, by the way, if you read the blogs and signed up for the thing, right? Okay. It's not that I'm anti-gratitude, by the way. I'm all for it. You know what it is for me? It's not the idea. The word gratitude, I don't like it. It's like, it's gotten to the point, gratitude now is in the class of words for me. Journey, mindfulness, sofa, words that make me feel squirrely. That's the, if I were playing Jeopardy, words that make me feel squirrely for 400, soda, sneakers, meal. Did you have a hot meal? I don't like it. Just strike him from the Oxford, if you know what I'm saying. On that note, be thankful for stuff. Good. Okay, great. Hey, thank you. Speaking of which, for those of you who survived the, you know, it wasn't an onslaught, but it's clearly more emails than I send out about the No Meat Athlete bundle holiday thing. It's over. It was good. You guys, a few of you came on and bought it. It was a kind of amazing thing, wasn't it? If I were smart and good at marketing, by the way, I would have talked about it on the podcast. I didn't do that. This is not what I do. I send out emails. People's unsubscribed. It's like, really? I sell one thing a year and you guys, I don't like it. I'd rather read the Amazon ones that I get every 4 days. I'm rocking a single malt scotch. You know what I've been doing? And listen, I'm going to talk about losing subscribers. I've been putting a little water in it. I know. I'm a traditionalist, but just a little dash of water. It's been kind of, I'm digging the whole thing. And I'm not, you know, it's like this is a very small amount. And so it makes it last. Make the moment last. Sign up for my newsletter. Thanks to everybody who's Patreoning me. Got a new one last week. And laying down for reviews. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's talk about competition. Let's talk about competition. Competition, you ask? Sid, competition, what do you mean by that? Like, I got to start competing with other people? You think it's a good idea to just, like, get into competitions with people? Yes, that's what I think. That's exactly, okay, you guys guessed it. Hope you come back to the next episode whenever I do it. I'm not talking about competing with other people. Can we agree on this thing? There's too much competition with other people. And guess what I'm blaming it on? You guess, ready? It rhymes with Ocialedia. Do you get it? Social media. You guessed it. Very good. That was a subtle hint. In this age of social media, like, we're all about competition. That's what we do. I mean, that's why people are happiness going down, anxiety going up, depression going up, suicide going up. Do I blame it wholly on social media? Of course not. That would be unfair. It's only 99.4% social media's fault. Competition in that regard is a losing battle. That's my opinion. When you are looking over your shoulder at what everybody else is doing, it's a losing battle pretty much in any context, but in the social media world that we live in and the just too much information all the time world that we live in, it's really a losing battle. You want to know why? Because the social media world has created the fake it till you make it scenario where we're looking at photos that are not showing the true status of somebody so that you are not you're not competing with anything real. You're competing with a facade. It's shallow competition. That's what I'm calling it in this episode starting now. Shallow competition. Shallow competition is like, well, I see the surface thing of this and this and this, and that's what I'm going to compete against when I don't really know. And unless you really know how the person actually is, you may not even need to compete with that person. You may already be winning just because they have a photo of them on, you know, Everest. in, you know, plaid socks doesn't mean they've won. And it's like, not that, I don't even know what that is. I mean, I know what that is, but you may not know what that is. We see the fake. It's all we see. We see the fake. And this is just being, look, it's probably always been that way. We kind of look over the Joneses. They seem like they have this thing and that thing all together fine. It's just gotten worse with social media. That's all I'm saying. It's too accessible, these kinds of not real portrayals of lives. It's not real. We're not getting the right snapshot. What I'm advocating for and talking about in this episode is deeper, is the deeper competition that occurs when we compete with ourselves. This is not so easy. It's actually a kind of a complex subject, because there's the ourselves, which is like the conscious, aware of what we want in our lives and competing and sort of, you know, trying to push ourselves further and do better today than we did yesterday, et cetera, et cetera. But there's also the competition between, in our own minds, between us and things that I would describe as not really us, but let's say the fear or the things that are messaging that we grew up with and that I talked about before. You know, parents tell us and teachers tell us, and they sort of become what we think is actually who we are, but it's not really who we are. And so there's a competition because we, on some level, know better. And there's a competition of winning over that other thing, that the messaging that we have come to, like I said, accept. Like, I'm lazy because that's what my dad always told me. But somewhere we know we're not lazy, and there's a competition there too. What I'm talking about, this is all the deep stuff. This is all the deeper stuff. And every moment that we look over our shoulders and see what that person's doing on Instagram is a waste of time. It is a waste of time. Now, sometimes we need to waste time and have a little fun. Fine. That's not what I'm talking about. And I think you know what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm going to have a little sip of watered down scotch while you ponder that for a second. What is lost is, and again, because we see too much other shit, other people, and just pictures. So many pictures, lots of pictures. What's lost is self-competition. I don't talk about people specifically unless they give me permission to talk about them specifically, like the guy who peed on the balcony at the Stanford. Look, episode 63, go back and watch that. Go back and listen to that. Okay, I'm not going to revisit that. Am I traumatized a little bit? Yeah, a little bit. Fine. I'll get over it. What we've forgotten is this, the value of testing ourselves. And so what I was going to refer to is this, in my experience in the resort and people I've worked with, there seems to be some part of our population that's kind of cops this, I don't want to do anything above what I'm doing. You know, even when offered the opportunity to take on more, they will go, no, I don't want to. I can't quite just crack that nut. It's weird to me that if somebody goes, do you want this opportunity to stretch and do more? And you go, no, thank you. I'm fine doing this thing that I'm doing, that I know exactly how to do it, and it doesn't supposedly stress me out at all. I don't have to learn anything new, and I'm just, this is me the rest of my life. I'm 24, but you might as well be talking to the 68-year-old me, because this is it. I've hit my stride at 24. I'm good. I don't want anything more, because the perception is more is harder. It's harder. And it's just, on one hand, that's true, but on the other hand, it's not true. So that's what I'm talking about here. We've forgotten that there's a value in testing ourselves, that when we reach more and move beyond the hand that we at least perceive that we're dealt, right? If we try to move beyond, there is happiness there. There is joy. There is actually stress relief there. We confuse stagnancy with no stress, and that's a very, very, very bad mistake to make. We confuse stagnancy and doing as little as possible with low stress. And it's never been that case. It's never been true, given our psychology or whatever that is. It is never true that when we are stagnant, we are in a low stress situation, or that there's a situation, or it's a happiness giving situation. It never is. It's not a happiness delivering situation to not be engaged on the level of trying to push ourselves. How much we push ourselves, okay, fine. I've definitely been personally in places where I push myself too hard. That's the other side of that extreme. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about this idea of competing with ourselves, of showing up the next day and at least making the effort to bring something new to the day that wasn't there before. And we don't compete with ourselves often, like I said, because we think that's minimizing stress. We don't want to strive in our lives or our jobs because we perceive that as too much work. And we need to realize that the stress reduction in challenging ourselves and fighting the status quo, in learning more, working harder, simply trying to constantly dig ourselves out if we think that we're in a hole, the effort of trying to constantly dig, that's a stress reduction. And you guys know, if you've known me and followed me for any period of time, you know it's all, for me, it's all about the filter of stress. I look at everything. I have clients who come to me with, you know, a gut, and I go, stress, I don't give a crap the calories you're eating. What is the stress? What's going on that is stressful to you enough where it's causing you to eat a certain way or to not exercise or to exercise too much and to push yourself too much or push yourself too little, all these kinds of things. It's stress. I see that filter of stress. I see everything through a filter of stress, which is why I look at somebody who is not pushing as stress, but I'll also see, I'm going to say it, that the competition I spoke of earlier, which is with others looking over the shoulder, that's stress-inducing as well. So it's both sides of that whole deal. But the self-competition is in direct opposition to competition with others. In competition with others, it's going to be a losing battle if the battle is for happiness. If you compete with others to get the nicer car, you can win the battle. You're not going to win the war of happiness. You're not going to win that 1974 Camaro, which is, you know, a laudable and lofty goal. Is not going to deliver you ultimate happiness necessarily, but you could win the battle that your next door neighbor has a 1975 and you won that battle. It's fine, you won that battle, but that's not the battle I'm talking about. Competition with others ultimately in the big picture of living the lives we want to live and the good lives is that losing battle. When we, on the other hand, learn, and I guess it takes that in today's world, learning this again, self-competition, deep competition, with ourselves, what we win is the feeling of accomplishment. We win the feeling of effort. We win the feeling of fulfillment. What this means is two things. We feel better about ourselves and we feel less stress. What it also means is that it is in that context of self-competition, of bringing that into your life, that makes you feel good regardless of where you get to. This is why I don't like the word journey, because I'm going to have to use it here. But that's my point, is when you bring a self-competition, when you most days push, and not type A push, not like they're just always have a Palm Pilot, like that kind of thing. But when there's a healthy competition, where there is, I'm going to bring creativity to my job, my boring ass job that I feel trapped in, I'm going to try to do it better. I'm going to try to, if I'm standing around, there's not much to do at work, I'm going to find something to do. I'm going to organize something. I'm going to do something, but I'm not going to go to the boss and go, you should do this and that, but I'm going to actually do something. I'm going to go, hey, it's cool if I do this thing. I had an idea and I want to do it. There's goodness there. I mean, the like depth of your soul, feeling of goodness, and that's the self-esteem and self-confidence that's ultimately going to deliver you the happiness. It's all about that thing, but it's self-competition. It's a sad thing for me to see people who are, like I said, forget about just don't give a crap, but then even when they're offered an opportunity, don't take it because they're, I don't even know what. I can't compute what that is about that. It's the weirdest damn thing. If we are in self-competition, that deeper competition, even when we hit a limit and we can't go any further, even then we know we've done something. Even then we go, fucking hit that. I hit the freaking wall. That's amazing. I think that's why I like ultra running. And if you know me personally, you know that's out of my wheelhouse. Like, I'm not an ultra runner in personality. That's not a thing that I go, that guy, he's an ultra runner in his, I'm not that guy. And so because of what it offered me in terms of that breakdown and the challenge of that thing to see and not to win, I'm not even a good runner, I'm a slow runner, but to finish that thing, that was the feeling of it was. It had nothing to do with who else was in that race and who else did a time. I don't care. I actually don't care in any way. Don't care what other somebody's time is. I don't feel like when somebody goes, I did it an hour faster. I'm like, yeah, okay, good. Yeah, let's have a beer. I actually don't care. That's just for me. I found that thing. But the point is when we hit our limit, there's something there. And it's a weird thing to, I think what's happening is people don't want to know what their limit is. I don't know why. Is there a fear? Is there fear in knowing what you can actually do? And the other side of that, is there any real value in holding back, never testing, never knowing what you can achieve in whatever it is that floats your boat? I don't care what it is. Ultra running is my thing. I don't give a crap. Whatever. Music's my thing. Lots of other things. But is there any value in not putting yourself out there? In never challenging yourself? Is it the fear about the failure? Like, why is there fear in that? Why is there fear in pushing yourself forward and competing with yourself to see how far you can freaking go? And I wonder if the fear is that once you rise to a new level, then you know too much. You know too much to go back. You can't go back. I think there is fear potentially that if I go there, I can never come back to this. And honestly, what is freaking better than that?
We spent all tucked away, holding a glimpse of falsehood quiet. The streets will always be busy when I can pick out some speck of something that will hold me. Been last night looking through a glaze I've covered on switching from me to you, from simple to full and around the bad way. For the most part, I can live between. What turns my head, I can stop the story. See what might lie ahead, my eye must simply be bad. So I'm trying to sketch what I'm seeing, but it turns out great. I spent last night looking through a glaze I covered on switching from me to you, from simple to full and around the bound way. I spent last night looking through a glaze I'm covered on switching from me to you, from simple to full and around the bad way. Cause I spent last night looking through a glaze I'm covered on switching from me to you, from simple to full.